Hi, this is Tia Sirkar. I play Sabine Wren on Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Twin Suns Transmission.
Of course, it ends where it began. A desert planet with twin suns.
Hey, my name is Taylor Gray, and I play Ezra Bridger in Star Wars Rebels. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Twin Suns Transmission.
Here's where the fun begins.
Let's make this a bit more interesting.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
The garbage will do!
Nothing will stand in our way.
May the Force be with us.
Hello once again, and welcome back to another episode of Twin Suns Transmission. I'm your host, Eric Pfeiffer, joined as always by Jesse Sanfilippo.
Hey guys!
And welcome to episode 123 of Twin Suns Transmission. We're very excited about this episode because it's been a little bit since we've done our last one, so we have a lot to talk about. We're actually going to skip our first segment of our show, which is normally How's Your Star Wars? We've got a lot to talk about, so we're going to go ahead and just move along with our show. So Jesse, let's go ahead and begin with the Star Wars news. First thing being kind of a sad thing that happened. I'm sure many of you have already heard by now that producer Gary Kurtz has passed away. He passed away on September 23rd, which, if you don't know who Gary Kurtz is, Gary Kurtz was a producer on some of the original Star Wars movies back in the 70s and 80s. And I actually had the pleasure of meeting Gary Kurtz back in 2007. At Star Wars Celebration in Los Angeles, and this was during the times where, you know, there were Star Wars fans, but not like there are today, you know, where, you know, you go to a Star Wars Celebration and there's just so many people and the crowds are insane, and, you know, this was back in the day where they had a special fan club group, and Gary Kurtz was nice enough to come out and sit on the couch in the fan club room and kind of talk to a lot of the fans. And it was a pretty intimate setting where you could ask him questions and things like that. So it was really cool. And so it's kind of a bummer for me to hear that Gary Kurtz is no longer with us. But now that we got that sad news out of the way, let's go on to some more exciting news. And Jesse, we got some news on the new live-action Star Wars TV show.
We did. It came out of nowhere. So we got the very first image and description of the brand new show coming to Disney's streaming service on Jon Favreau's Instagram account. It is called The Mandalorian. And he posted a short little description, and it goes, after the stories of Jango and Boba Fett, another warrior emerges in the Star Wars universe. The Mandalorian is set after the fall of the Empire and before the emergence of the First Order. We follow the tales of a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic. And an image was also released of what is definitely a Mando seeming to be walking the streets of somewhere Star Wars-y. So I'm sure we can expect to see this costume probably all over the place at Celebration Chicago.
Yeah, it kind of, to me, I don't want to say it looks like Jedha, but it kind of does a little bit. Even though we know Jedha City kind of got destroyed. But it kind of has that feel a little bit, maybe like Tatooine as well. Just kind of the look of it with sort of the tent-like structures in the background. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's what we know of what the Outer Rim looks like, basically.
Yeah.
The average Outer Rim planet city seems to look like.
So what are your expectations for this? Like, just based off of the description and the picture, like, how do you think this is going to go?
I feel like I don't think he's going to be a bounty hunter because that would just be repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's just going to be, I don't know, this, like, I just picture this, like, badass, like, almost like a Western kind of guy that's just going around and probably causing trouble. I don't know.
at the local cantina and...
yeah. He's got this, like, big, like, shotgun-looking thing slung over his back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of speculation that could be had just with the clues that we've been given and the information that we've been given, you know? I mean, this is one of those things where I guarantee you Jon Favreau's like, watch the internet explode. And he just gives us like a picture and like a couple sentences, you know? And he's back there like, muhahaha, like, look what I did. And, you know, all us fans are like, oh my god, okay, so this is how we're going to make this costume. And, you know, everybody's freaking out. Looks like your typical Mandalorian, you know, it definitely doesn't look like Boba Fett or Jango Fett or anything. There's some major differences with the armor. It doesn't look like there's an antenna or anything on the bucket. It almost looks like there's... I don't want to say less armor, but it doesn't look like there's a jetpack, at least in this one shot, you know? So, I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's hard to make some speculation, but one thing we do know is that this is after the Clone Wars, this is after the Empire, and it's before the First Order, so it's very possible that the galaxy is in a state of chaos.
Right, and I mean, I don't know much about old school Star Wars video games, but apparently this is what somebody that I was just chatting about this with in a nerd store, actually. They said that there was some kind of video game that was scheduled to be released before the Disney buyout that had to do with Mandalorians. And that this looks very similar. Like, it seemed to them like this was a, like, bringing that back, bringing whatever story they had planned that never got released back. I'm not sure if you know what video game I'm talking about, because I don't.
Well, the only thing that I can think of is a game called 1313, which is that was supposed to take place on Coruscant, because if you remember back to the Clone Wars, and Ahsoka is going down into the underworld of Clone Wars, and they have different levels, and we actually see her go down to, like, level 1312 and stuff like that. So it's a Coruscant underworld-style game. I don't necessarily recall lots of Mandalorians being featured in the trailers, but I could be wrong. That was a while ago. So, I don't know. I mean, it's very well could be. Don't hold me to that. I'm like I said, it's kind of just going off of what I remember. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely exciting, and, you know, it's cool to see an image of something that you know is going to be a TV show about Star Wars, and nothing against animation or anything, but this is going to be a live-action show, and that's the first time that we've had that for Star Wars, so it's very exciting.
And to pull it all together, though, with Star Wars TV shows, I mean, Dave Filoni is... I think he's one of the executive producers, and then he's also, yes, he's definitely one of the executive producers, but he is directing the first episode, which is really cool.
And that's something that people have been wanting, you know?
Right.
Like, people have been wanting Dave to do live action stuff for a long time now, so this is very cool.
It is, and I'm just excited to see what it feels like to watch Star Wars in this different format. Like, I know we've gotten Star Wars TV shows, but it always feels different when something that starts off as a movie live action gets changed into, like, if you think about, like, the Avengers, feels different when you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, like, it feels like a TV show. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all translates and what kind of cool new stories they can do. With that,
what I love about this even more is that this is a production by Jon Favreau, and Jon Favreau is a huge fan of Star Wars, and he's not been shy about saying that. He's the voice of Pre Vizsla in the Clone Wars, he's the voice of Rio in Solo. Like, he wants to be involved in all of this, and I think, as we've seen, if you have that love of Star Wars, you know, as we've seen with Gareth Edwards and J.J. Abrams and a lot of the other directors that have gotten their opportunities, you know, they really can produce a great product. And I'm very excited for this. speaking of TV shows, let's talk about Star Wars Resistance. And we're very excited to talk about this. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. And we finally got the premiere this past week on the Disney Channel. And we're very excited to talk about this. So let's get started. Obviously, we are going to be talking about the show. So if you have not seen it, we will be talking about spoilers. So we don't want to spoil it for you. So, you know, make sure to stop us and watch it before you listen to the rest of the show. So, Jesse, just initial reaction to Star Wars Resistance.
It was just fun. It was just a fun little story that you could tell was made for kids, but I didn't feel like I was watching a baby show, you know? Like, I feel like it's fun for all ages, even though it doesn't seem like it's going to get as deep as we did in Rebels. I mean, who knows? We've only seen the first episode. But I'm really excited about it. I'm already super interested in a bunch of these characters, and it left me just like wanting to know more. Like, I want to know how Poe and Yeager go way back. Like, I'm already hooked, so I loved it.
Nice. And, you know, this is the first sort of animated show that is related to the sequel trilogy. You know, we've had the Clone Wars, which sort of ties together the trilogies. It kind of goes from episode 2 to episode 3, which then we know goes into the birth of the Empire and stuff like that. We've had Rebels, which kind of sort of goes the other way. You know, we have kind of the end of the Clone Wars with Rex and the Jedi like Kanan, and we have the episodes with the battle droids and things like that, and we kind of transition from that into the Empire is real and it's in the galaxy, and, you know, we're getting closer to episode 4. And this one, leading up to The Force Awakens, I think definitely has a different feel to it. I would definitely say it 100% has a Star Wars feel to me. I know one big question with a lot of people was the animation. You know, this is definitely a new turn for animation, sort of more like anime style versus the what we've been used to with Clone Wars and Rebels. And I think to a certain extent that does give it that like younger audience feel. But like you said, Jesse, it doesn't, when you're watching it, it doesn't feel like I'm watching a show for a 5-year-old, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I'm really enjoying the animation style. I mean, I honestly haven't watched a ton of anime. I've only ever maybe seen a few Studio Ghibli films. But I have really enjoyed that. And I know that that is a big part of what inspires Dave and Dave Filoni and his work. So it's cool to see him get to do that style that inspires him so much.
Yeah. And one thing I did notice about this animation is that it's very bright, right? Yes. Like even the characters' faces and the settings and the clothing, it all has a very like bright style look to it, you know, like especially in Clone Wars and Rebels. You know, we had a lot of dark scenes, like on Dathomir. Yeah, it was red, but it was, like, mostly dark, you know? And then in Rebels, we have the amazing colors of Lothal, but, like, you know, you go on to, like, a Star Destroyer or in Thrawn's quarters or, you know, things like that, and it's, like, gray and it's darker coloring, you know, and granted we've only had the first episode in Resistance, but everything seems very bright.
It is. Everybody has their own color scheme, and I noticed that it actually corresponds, their outfits correspond with their ships.
Nice.
They like 100% yeah. Match. It's cute.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things to discuss relating to Star Wars Resistance, and in the very first scene, we see what looks like a TIE Interceptor, and the last time we had seen TIE Interceptors was in Return of the Jedi, and they were, you know, the basic-looking TIE Interceptor with the pointy wings and the curved you know, paneling on the sides and stuff like that. And this one was red. So I don't know if that was like a Special Forces. And I know we've seen figures from New York Comic Con of the red TIE pilot and everything. But it looks like a First Order Interceptor. And I could be totally wrong about this, but I don't recall seeing that in The Force Awakens or any part of the First Order. So that was something that really stood out to me. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that or anything, but...
I know in that little short that they're doing now, it's called, like, Bucket List or something. They did talk a little bit about it, and they just really touched on how it's able to go to hyperspace and how the First Order, the Empire, didn't have that technology readily available to them, but the First Order seems to have that.
Yeah.
Hyperspace technology just on deck for their average fighter. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
See how they've evolved.
Right. And one of the other things I noticed too is they mentioned Scarif. You know, oh, they've been with us since the Battle of Scarif to the Battle of Jakku and stuff like
yeah.
that. They're really doing a great job, in my opinion, of bringing all of the new content together and making it match up with everything else. Scarif was also mentioned in Solo, if you remember that, which I think is pretty cool that they also mention it here in Resistance. And obviously Scarif is where they get the Death Star plans in Rogue One from the big spire, which is pretty cool. So I love that they're bringing everything together.
Do you think that was a hint that they're on the Tantive IV? That they're on Leia's ship, basically? It looked like the same model, at least.
It's definitely a different color, because it's blue.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that there wasn't a new paint job. And I know that ship got blasted pretty well by the Devastator, I believe it was, which was the Star Destroyer in A New Hope at the very beginning. So, yeah, I don't know. I definitely know that those Corellian corvettes, the blockade runners, those ships have been around for a while. So I don't know what ship it was, but it was pretty cool to kind of see that. One other thing that I noticed is, in order to make a good story, and this is something that I know that George Lucas really kind of wanted to drive home with his two trilogies, is the aspect of the hero's journey. And they're kind of doing that same thing again with the sequel trilogy. And, you know, one aspect of the hero's journey is the rejection. Like, the hero wants to reject their duties. Like, if you think about A New Hope, right? We have Luke, and Obi-Wan's like, oh, yeah, you must learn the ways of the Force. And Luke is like, no, I can't leave Tatooine. I've got work to do, you know? Like, I can take you as far as Anchorhead, but, like, you know, you're on your own, man. And then, like, that's the whole rejection part. Like, he doesn't want to go, you know? And the same thing with Rey. Like, she has to get back to Jakku. Like, she has to, you know, her family might come. She can't go. She can't leave. She's got to get back as soon as possible. And that's kind of, you know... Obviously, this is Resistance is a show for a little bit younger audiences, but we kind of have the same thing where at the beginning, Poe's like, hey, Kazuda's the Ono, you know, like, I know what I'm talking about. I've seen talent before. Like, we'd love to have you for the Resistance. And he's like, no, you know, my dad's a senator. He wouldn't approve and whatever. Like, we're already seeing the beginnings of the hero's journey.
Right. But I love that he turned around so quickly and just so badly wants to be a part of it and wants to do good and wants to follow his own dream
mm-hmm.
instead of whatever his dad wants for him. And he's a bit different of the characters we know because he does come from a well-off family. Obviously, we don't know exactly who his dad is, but his dad was able to get him into all this stuff. So... It's a different story than the scavenger on Jakku, the kid stranded on Tatooine. It's cool to kind of see it from a different perspective of someone who was handed a life that looks pretty darn cool, but wants something different, wants something more, and goes for it.
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, obviously in the story, there's a reason we didn't see Kazuto's father you know, because they were scrambling the transmission or whatever. But I think to, in a certain aspect, like, the reason why we couldn't see who Kazuto's father is because they're purposely trying to keep that a mystery for the audience.
That's what I was thinking about, too.
Like, I have a feeling that that is going to come into play later on. Not necessarily that we know who his father is, but maybe, like, it'll mean something to us somehow, you know?
Right. Like, I mean, obviously, I mean, no one off the top of my head with the last name Ziono comes to mind. So I agree with you. I don't think we know him, but I bet he has like some kind of like rank or something that makes him important. Maybe he's, you know, really high up person in the New Republic.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, we obviously have a full episode to talk about, so we'll only be able to talk about, you know, so much of it during the show, but they go to this planet called Castellan, and it's a new planet. I don't recall ever hearing the name of that planet before, but it's clearly a water planet, and we get to meet a couple new characters on this planet, one of them being Niku. And typically my favorite characters are characters that are powerful, you know, like I really like Anakin, he's a Jedi, he could use the Force, you know, I really like Rey. So far, Niku just cracks me up, you know, like he's hilarious, like Kazuto Ziono will be like, oh, I didn't say that, I just said something and you took it and ran with it, and he's like, I did not run anywhere. Like, he's almost like a droid. Like, things go over his head, you know?
He is. And he's just, I just love how dang happy he is. And, like, the little stars in his eyes that get bigger whenever he, like, gets really excited about the next thing Kaz says. Yeah, no, I agree. I really like Niku, too. He makes me smile.
Yeah. And they show him the fireball. Like, they're unveiling the ship or whatever. Like, the door opens and... And, like, I don't know if you noticed this, but Niku's, like, jumping up and down, like, clapping. Like, he's excited, you know? He's ready to go. He's a very happy character. And I think that that's a good thing. He definitely brings that comic relief to the story. And, you know, this is a show for younger audiences, as we've said a couple times now. But... you know, sometimes that means that characters in Star Wars get into serious situations, and it's important to have characters like Jar Jar Binks or the droids, or, you know, characters like Chopper or whatever, right. Characters to make jokes and sort of bring a little bit of light to the situation. So
I think, though, I'm the most intrigued by Tam. I honestly can't read her last name properly. Revora? Tam Revora. I'm going to go with it that way. I think she's super interesting. I am excited because it seems like she wants this ship. She wants to be the pilot. And now Kaz is kind of in the driver's seat. And I want to see how that goes. Like, is she going to resent him for that? Is she going to try to, you know... She's going to want the fireball back once it's, like, up and running. I don't think she's going to let it go and just let Kaz have it.
So, yeah. I kind of feel like it'll be a situation like in Ant-Man, if you guys have seen that movie, where Hope kind of wants to be in charge of the Ant-Man suit, but Scott Lang comes along and he's the one that they choose. You know, right. It'll kind of be like that. So maybe she'll end up either becoming the pilot or getting her own ship or something. You know, the situation's got to rectify itself at some point. But, yeah, we'll see. Another interesting character is Yeager. Like, I don't know what to make of him, you know?
I know.
He's very mysterious to me, and I don't know if I trust him.
Yeah, he's kind of... almost like a Han character, mm-hmm. where you're just, he's kind of like a wild card, especially in the beginning. You don't know what side he's on. I mean, obviously he's friends with Poe, but something must have happened with him and Poe or him and the Resistance to make him not want to be part of it whatsoever. He's obviously super reluctant to even take in Kaz. So it'll be really interesting to see how he feels when he's clearly going to get more mixed up in this than he wants to be.
Right. Yeah, and they talk, even on their way to Castellan, Poe and Kaz, about the mission. Obviously, they suspect that there's somebody there working for the First Order, you know, the spy and stuff like that, which makes you think a little bit, like, who could this be? And I don't know about you, but as I'm watching this, I'm like, well, could it be Nico? No, that would make no sense.
Like, he that can't handle. He would not be able to handle any of that.
He'd That's like, not it.
Nice to meet you, Kaz. I'm a spy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think it's Niku, but, you know, I don't know if the directorial goal is for the audience to think that Yeager is the spy. Or maybe we haven't seen the spy yet, you know, maybe this is just like the first introductory episode to kind of get us like used to the characters, and as time goes on, maybe we'll find out who the spy is, you know, but I don't know. Like, do you have any hunches right now?
I feel like I've looked at every single character skeptically. Like, Hype Faison kind of seems like an arrogant dude, like he might be like hiding in plain sight, kind of, you know, like, everybody loves me, I'm the best, like, no one would ever suspect me to be like double crossing everyone.
Yeah,
so he could be,
and he's the Rodian pilot that has won all the races and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So you think it's somebody that maybe they've shown but hasn't really had a big role yet?
Right. And I think it's going to, I mean, obviously it's going to be what we don't expect, because that's what they love to do, especially Dave Filoni. But, I mean, I feel like they want us to think it's going to be like Griff. Like, look at him. He's got like Imperial tattoos and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I feel like they're putting characters like that in there to be like, hey, look at this guy. He's angry. And like, there's no way it's going to be him. I bet you that's going to be a character that is going to have like a big soft side, kind of like a Zeb character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see all these other pilots. Bo Keevil, he looks really cool. I don't know, but I don't know. I think it's going to be someone hiding in plain sight that is just going to, there's going to be a twist somewhere that gives us the spy. Do you think we'll get to know who the spy is within this first season and then move on to other missions in later season?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Only because of the way that the story seems to be going already. Like, we talked a little bit about the hero's journey and, you know, like how long it takes Luke to finally accept the fact that he's meant to go with Obi-Wan and go, and Rey to decide, hey, I don't have to go back to Jakku and whatever. And we've talked a little bit about that with Kazuto Ziono and how quickly, you know, he changed his mind and was like, yep, I'm ready to do this. I think it'll be a much faster paced show, only because younger audiences don't have the attention span and like the patience to kind of like wait for a lot of this.
And to maybe necessarily even totally remember what happened last time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're only watching this show once a week and you're young, are you really being like, oh, that thing that happened in the first episode, I can't wait to see how that turns out a month later? Like, they probably have forgotten.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
and
I think you're right.
Yeah. I don't want people to think like, oh my God, this sounds like my toddler would like this. Like, no, this is for Star Wars fans, you know?
Your toddler would like this, but you would love watching this with your toddler. Like, that's what's cool about it. It can be like a whole family thing that is going to get, like we keep saying with all these shows, really a whole nother generation of kids that get to grow up with their own little corner of Star Wars. But it is, I really do love it as a full-grown adult person. So,
yeah,
I think everybody should at least give it a shot because I'm already hooked.
Yeah, I know. The first time I watched the episode through, I was like, all right, let's watch the next one. And I was like, crap, I can't watch the next one. But we have discovered that I believe it's Xfinity On Demand. You can actually access some of the next episodes. Now, here on this show, we're kind of going to go with the releases only because not everybody has Comcast and stuff like that. We want to be fair to everybody. So we're kind of going to go based off of, you know, weekly episodes that they've posted and stuff. So, you know, don't worry about that. But, yeah, so I guess there are ways to see advanced episodes early, which is good, especially if you're, you know, you work or whatever and you can't see them. But, yeah, pretty cool. So, let's continue talking. One of the main things that it's not necessarily a drawback to the sequel trilogy, but what I know we've talked about this before on other episodes too, is the lack of familiar alien species and droids in the sequel trilogy. You know, like, throughout the prequels and the original trilogy, like, you'd see Rodians, you'd see Quarren, you'd see Mon Calamari, you'd see, like, all these other aliens that you're like, oh yeah, I saw them on Tatooine, or I remember them from the cantina, or whatever. And then you go to the sequel trilogy and you're like, who are you? You know, like, where'd you come from? And I think a lot of times when you have similar characters or similar species, it really sort of connects the trilogies together, you know? So in Resistance, we see pit droids. We see Bith, which is the species of the Cantina Band. We see Rodians. We see Gotals, which are, they have, like, the horns, and we've seen them a lot in Clone Wars. They were the ones that helped the Trade Federation and Greedo sort of take the chairman of Pantora's daughters. We see Aline, who we saw the Alina episodes with Wolf, and, you know, the underground worlds were producing toxic air to the Alina people. There's also, I can't remember the pod racer's name, but he was a pod racer in the Punta Eve Classic pod race. The Snivian, who we actually get to see in Clone Wars, he's one of the other prisoners that gets dropped off by the Trandoshans to be hunted for sport. We also get to see one of them in the cantina. And so a lot of these aliens, the Chadra Fan, who, if you know the character that's, like, reaching for the glass, the small, he looks like a rat kind of character in the cantina at the beginning, or in episode 4. That's what the guy that wanted a Gorg was. I can't remember what his name is. He's sort of, like, a little bit chubbier, that dude.
Orca.
Yeah, he's Chadra Fan. So, you know, they're bringing back a lot of these familiar species, and I think that's really cool to kind of tie the trilogies together.
And we've seen a Gorg before. We've seen Jar Jar eat one and practically choke on it.
There you go. Yeah, pit droids especially. And the next thing I wanted to say is that, you know, the race at the end, it really had that pod racer feel to me with the announcer, and we have pit droids all over the place, and, you know, we have somebody who, that, like, put together their ship, and I don't know. It just really had that, like, episode 1 pod race style feel to me.
Don't quote me, but I believe the announcer is actually the same voice from pod racing.
There's Bode and Feed, I believe, are the two heads of the announcer. And as we were watching it, one of my friends was like, oh yeah, that's the same announcer. And I was like, I'll have to check on that, because I don't know, but it sounds the same. So yeah, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was true.
And we also have, I honestly don't know the species, but Aunt Z is that, that not the same Ankar Plutt species.
Yep.
So we're tying into The Force Awakens too.
Yeah. And what's cool is that they're bringing in things that people can relate to, like throwing darts, you know, like it's kind of like created that bar fight and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. It has that rough sort of gritty, like Star Wars feel with the low levels at the cantina, you know, and I don't know. I think it did a really good job of connecting everything and really made it feel like Star Wars to me.
I agree. Yeah, I feel like I didn't question for a minute where I was, what universe I was. It did. It felt very Star Wars-y. Started off right in an X-Wing cockpit, so
yeah.
It just threw you right into Star Wars. Even the way they, slowly panned in on Kaz's droid's head.
Yeah.
It was very, like, Death Star-y from the originals. Like, it just, everything about it felt like it fits right in.
100%. Which, you know, again, why should we expect anything less from Dave Filoni? This man is a genius and he does a great job. But at the same time, humans, we're creatures of habit and we like things that we like. And when you change something, it's like, oh no. But we really, I think a lot of fans are really going to accept Resistance as part of the universe. So, once again, great job, Lucasfilm. And was there anything else related to Resistance that you wanted to bring up before we go?
I like Flix.
Yeah.
I like his species. I looked at the databank on StarWars.com and it literally says nothing else about him besides like a short description of what you get from the TV show. But I like, he's a totally new alien species. Like you said, like you were saying, we got to see a lot of same old faces, but it's cool to see every now and then getting these new ones. And I love his little owl body.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, he's cute. I like him.
Yeah. 100%, and I guarantee you that we'll continue to get new creatures and visit new planets and see new weapons and new ships and stuff like that, and it will definitely continue to keep us fans on our toes and excited about new and upcoming aspects of Star Wars. I know at New York Comic Con, they've already shown us a lot of some of the figures that are going to be released, and to me as a collector, that's very exciting, so... I can't wait to get my hands on some of those. So, yeah, that'll pretty much do it for our discussion on the first episode of Star Wars Resistance. And when we come back, we're going to be doing a bunch of episodes. We are going to be doing at least 3 episodes in October, since we only did 1 in September. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to be reviewing Resistance. We're also going to be addressing some topics like we did on our previous show with, what would have happened if Ahsoka didn't leave the Jedi Order? You know, could she have saved Anakin from going to the dark side? We're going to be doing a lot more discussions like that, as we've said before. So stay tuned for that. And our next episode shouldn't be too long from now, so be on the lookout. The next episode of Resistance is called Triple Dark, which airs on Sunday evening. So make sure to tune into that on the Disney Channel. And Jesse, before we go, would you like to tell people where they can find us on social media?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all under the handle at Twin Suns Outpost.
All right, perfect. And then if you're looking to listen to our show like you're doing right now, you can find us on our website, which is www.twinsonsoutpost.com, or you can go onto the Google Play Store and download the Star Wars podcast app. All of our shows are also streamed there. And you can also find us on iTunes. So a couple different places to listen to us. And we definitely appreciate you taking your time out to listen to us and your feedback and everything like that. Make sure to stay tuned on Facebook for some potential polls and things like that. We want to keep you guys engaged with us, and we definitely enjoy talking to you guys on social media.
And if you're enjoying our show, maybe you're with us every week, give us a review. Let us know if you love us, and we'd really appreciate that. Your reviews keep us going.
So for Eric and Jesse, thank you so much for listening to episode 123 of Twin Suns Transmission. We'll see you next time, and may the Force be with you.
Hi, this is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels. You've been listening to Twin Suns Transmission, an exciting show where sand gets everywhere. Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Twin Suns Podcast Network. May the Force be with you, always.
Airmaster Tatooine.
It's controlled by the Hutt.
I'll meet you at the rendezvous point on Tatooine.
This son's doing murder for me to see.